Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. Murder in the Morning
from the Hidden Killers Podcast. You know, once a crime's been committed in history, like way back, and a good chunk of the population has no recollection of it happening other than just Dateline episodes, history books, documentaries, and movies, we seem to not quite connect the gravity of some of these crimes and what some people did. And people get old and they age out and they're in prison and they've been incarcerated for their whole lives because of the crimes that we commit or that they committed. And then we start to wonder, well, you know, they're old. Looks like they've, you know, they feel bad about their crimes. They've been rehabilitated. Maybe we should let them out now that they're really, really old. And this is what this case is bringing into the spotlight. We're talking about Leslie Van Houten. She was one of Charles Manson's followers and was very involved in a murder that took place August 10th of 1969. The day following the infamous murder of actress Sharon Tate and four others, Van Houten was just 19 years old at the time and had been a member of Charles Manson's cult-like following for several months. We're going to go into the details of actually what happened here, but let me just talk on the surface here. Stacey, what is your thoughts when you hear, oh, you know what? She might be, or no, she is getting out because Gavin Newsom is not going to be stepping in. He said he's not going to hold this back this time. Other governors have, I believe he even has once too. But now it looks like it's going to happen. She will be released.
So I've got some thoughts. Yeah. You know, she is 72 years old. Mm-hmm. She's been in what, maybe since she was 20?
19.
I mean, is that a fair assessment?
She was 19 when she went in.
Yep. 19. So 53 years. Her entire life has been spent in our prison system. She doesn't know what it's like to have gotten to drinking age. I mean, maybe it was 18 back then, but maybe she's never voted before. Has she shopped in a grocery store? Because at 19, maybe mom and dad did it for you, you know, that kind of thing. I feel like she has no clue how she's going to exist in today's society, especially. I don't know how they assimilate these people back into everyday life. So there's a part of me that says, why now? Why is this so important that she gets let out for what she did?
Because she's old and she looks like a grandma.
And doesn't mean she didn't freaking kill a whole bunch of people.
Exactly. You see,
I know a lot of evil old people.
Yeah.
They people do evil in, you know, their midlife, and then they just grow up and get older. I mean, it doesn't change what they did.
It doesn't whatsoever. And I do believe there is rehabilitation for some people. And you know, I would honestly look at this woman and go, yeah, you probably are rehabilitated. I don't really have any fear that she's going to go out and stab somebody 19 times in the ass with a bayonet like she did again. But at the same point, she still did stab somebody, 16 times in the ass with a bayonet until their spine was exposed. And we'll go to that story in just a moment and kind of really share why she's behind bars and why it seems time heals all wounds in some people's minds when I don't know that it really should with some people. Go back to August 10th in 1969, Van Houten, along with Charles Tex Watson and Patricia Kernwinkle and other Manson family members, drove to the Los Feliz residence of Rosemary and Leno LaBianca. Charles Manson had initially entered the home to
tie up the LaBiancas before leaving Watson, Kernwinkle, and Van Houten to carry out the actual murders. While Watson and Kernwinkle attacked and killed Leno LaBianca in the living room, Van Houten and Kernwinkle were directed by Watson to the bedroom where Rosemary was held. According to court testimony, Rosemary was initially held down by Van Houten while Patricia Kernwinkle attempted to stab her with a bayonet. But, surprise, the blade bent. And then Watson took over, stabbing Rosemary multiple times. Following the horrific assault, Watson instructed Van Houten to do something. In response, Van Houten stabbed Rosemary's body approximately 16 times in the back and buttocks. The coroner's report would later determine that the number of these stab wounds had been inflicted post-mortem. The vicious crime marked a chilling escalation in the Manson family's murderous spree. It should be noted that she was stabbed so many times that her spine was literally exposed outside of her body.
Oh, my God. What happens in somebody's mind that they can go through with an act so horrific that they can just keep going and going and going? Have they stepped outside of their body at this point?
I think you'd have to, if you're going to be capable of being rehabilitated, that can't be you. This has to be, you have to be in some sort of psychotic break to be able to pull that off and truly say, that wasn't me. I don't know so much that this was a psychotic break. This was someone who was following what she believed was right at the time, following Charles Manson, but fully aware of what she did. In fact, after the murders, the trio stayed in the LaBianca home for a while. They ate food from the refrigerator. Watermelon rinds were found in the garbage can from the Mansons. And they also hung out and played with the dogs because, you know, who doesn't like playing with dogs after you murder a family? They also carved the words war into Leno LaBianca's abdomen and used the victim's blood to write rise and death to pigs and helter skelter on the walls and the refrigerator door. It was intended in their mind to ignite a race war, Manson's delusional prophecy, which he called helter skelter. Upon their departure, they left a carving fork protruding from Leno's stomach and a steak knife from his throat. And now she's 70, and she looks kind of like a grandma. Should we let her out? I don't know. I mean, you did this. There's two different ways, I think, of looking at it. There's two categories from a psychological standpoint and a criminal standpoint. Does this woman appear to be rehabilitated? Does she appear to have any sort of threat to society? Yes, she appears to be rehabilitated, and no, she does not appear to be a threat to society. However, what do you say to the family members who had their loved one murdered all those years ago in such a heinous and super public way as well? I mean, this worldwide news, everybody got to hear the horrible way that your loved ones perished at the hands of these crazy people.
And especially, you know, even people who weren't alive when it happened, they've heard about it now. Social media, everybody's heard about this case now.
So the justification for letting her out is she's been good in prison and she's 73. She was on death row at one point in time, but then that ended up being thrown out the window when they outlawed the death penalty. So it's like, I don't know how it's just kind of a crazy thing to me where you go from being on death row and then your life in prison and now you're actually considered for being released. Wow. It seems like a real step back by people who weren't there for what happened.
Wow. Do you walk into church or whatever and hey, how are you? Leslie, is it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. What the hell do you say?
That you were part of the Manson family.
I mean, do you go on match.com and, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you put in that paragraph? I don't know how you exist in this world.
I don't know. And I don't know, you know, what do you do for money? I mean, is she going to write a book? I mean, will she then profit off of something like this? I mean, that's about, I think, the only, I don't know what her skills are, but she's 73.
She'll probably be on Social Security, but she hasn't paid into it. How does that work? You should ask one of our lawyer people. How does this work? How does she, end up on Medicare?
Probably. I mean, there's like a minimum that they give people.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a question that, I would say no. Personally, you did it. You're capable of doing it. You're 19. Everybody's like, well, they're so young. Yeah, you know what? I was working professionally at 19 too, and I had nothing in my mind to go and I couldn't do something like this. And I think if I was capable of doing that at one point in my life, I'd probably be capable of doing it again because it happened one time and you already did it. It's either in some people or it's not in some people to do something like that. Is she going to do it again? No. Highly, highly unlikely. Should she continue paying for the crime for the rest of her life? Yeah, I really think she should.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.